Tier 4, the youth here today helping us lead worship, weren't they great? Thank you so much for your ministry to us. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much for the ushers as well, for Enoch and others, and for Joshua there and down behind the soundboard. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to see God using our gifts, their gifts, for the Lord. We're all young in heart, right? In relationship to eternity, we're all youth, as my wife would all say, right? You're not as young as you feel, necessarily, because we don't always feel young, but we're as young as our attitude. And I think that we can all be young in Christ Jesus. God, what is he like? What is God like? If you had to think to yourself for a second, what is God like? What would you say? What would you say? Okay? If you remember, there we go. We are going down, going through this book on discipleship, okay? The Rose Guide to Discipleship. And we've been kind of picking away at these different topics, okay? Chipping away, I should say. And last time we talked about the Bible, understanding God's living and active word. Today we're going to look at God, thinking right about the Creator. We've got to think right about the Creator, right? And if you, again, had to define God, okay, in six words, how would you define God? How would you define God, okay? I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick, okay? And if you had to define God in six words, what would those words be? Go for it. Ready? 3, 2, 1, talk. 6 words. If you're by yourself, just think about it, okay? Just think about it. Well, how'd you do? How'd you do? Some people would describe God as perhaps infinitely introverted, right? Because he's out there and we're here, okay? Like a top, he put the string around the piece around the top. He just threw the planets into space, pulled the spring, and now these planets are revolving, you know, in orbit around this huge universe, and he's like, hey, they are them, and I am me, and I'm doing my work, and they're doing theirs, and the two shall never meet. He is an infinite introvert, right? Is that what God is? Loving, or is he a caring father? Is he a CEO of creation? Is he the impersonal force? Is he a genie, a Santa Claus, a grandfather, a judge, wrathful? Is he an angry ruler? What is God? How do we know what God is? Well, if I had to define God in 6 words, okay, I would sort of use these words. These are what come to my mind. I would think of him as being faithful, almighty, truth, holy, eternal, and redeemer. His holiness and his love. The fact that he's almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, that you can count on him, like Christina was talking about, that he is reliable, he is dependable, that he never ends, and he loves us so much that he's willing to sacrifice himself for us. And we just celebrated that this past weekend because he proved his unconditional love with his ultimate sacrifice while not compromising his justice. And that's what we read in Psalm 103. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer right now as we look into it? Father, we ask you that you would help us now as we look into your word and as we begin to understand just a little bit more about who you are so we can know a little bit more about who we are and who we should be. So help me, Lord, to get out of the way, and may your truth speak in the way it wants to be spoken. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we go. We can see in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is such a fantastic psalm. In fact, if somebody asks you, oh, I don't believe in God, well, ask them. and ask them and say, well, what kind of God don't you believe in? Okay? Or if there were a God, what would that God be like? And then you can share what you believe in. And some, just turn to Psalm 103. It gives a wonderful, wonderful explanation of the main tenets of what our God is like. And you can see it right here. He's a faithful God by keeping his covenants. Okay, he's a mighty God, right, by his strength. And he is a God of truth. We're going to look at the first three characteristics of God: his faithfulness, his almighty power, and his truth. We'll look at his holiness, his eternality, and his love next week. We're going to go with three this week. So let's just go ahead and do that. Let's just jump right in and look at this. And we can see here that God is faithful. As for man in his days, like grass, as a flower of the field, it doesn't last a long time. We get 80, 90, maybe 100 years, and it's all gone. So he flourishes. And when the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And his place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear him, and his righteous children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts. That was just read. So we see here that God is a covenant God. God loves us, and he's a covenant God, and he wants to show us his faithfulness throughout all generations. Last time, we looked at the eight different types of covenants. And for those of you that were here during Good Friday, we looked at the fact that God has decided to express himself over thousands of years, many hundreds of scriptures, 66 books of his faithfulness to us. We see it in four primary covenants throughout all of Scripture. First, it starts out with the Abrahamic covenant. You remember that God said, I will make you, Abraham, a blessing to all the nations of the world through the Jewish people. So this globe represents the fact that God has blessed every country in the world as a result of the Abrahamic covenant. You guys, me, we're here. We have different backgrounds, different races, different ages. But we are, think about this, guys, we are the result. We are a result of God keeping his promise to Abraham that said, I will make you a blessing, not just to your family. By the way, God chose Abraham because he knew he could trust Abraham that he would preach the word of God to his children. Do you know that? One of the main reasons theologians tell us that God chose Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? Why didn't he choose somebody else from some other part of the world? He chooses Abraham because he knew if he told Abraham to do something, he would do it. He would do it. And then he did it. And isn't that fantastic? It's a word of encouragement that God is looking for people who will do what he says. The Lord says, I look throughout the whole world. I look out throughout the whole world looking for a heart that is undivided and is completely mine. If you are that person, no one's perfect. But if you say, Lord, I want to be that person where you look at me, I'm in, I'm ready to go. It's unbelievable what God could do through you. Well, he did it through Abraham, right? But it didn't stop there, right? Because then we have the Mosaic covenant where he gave us the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But it first starts out by saying, no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make a graven image. Thou shalt not take thy name of the Lord in vain, right? Holy, keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet. Don't try to always get the bigger and the better things. Don't live your life never satisfied. Be content. Strive for excellence. Okay, so through the Mosaic covenant, he told us that if you obey these commandments, that faith was reckoned to as righteousness, that you will enter eternal life, not because you can keep this, because there was the sacrifices that were able to atone for those who couldn't keep this law, and they were looking forward towards the cross. But having said that, again, through the Mosaic covenant, God said, if you obey these main tenets of holiness, okay, I will bless you. And by the way, did you know that every single sin in the Bible, and there are hundreds of them, all fall under one of these categories? This isn't just some random list. The Lord says, okay, Moses, okay, go ahead and write this one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay? These are well thought out. This is the King of the King. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Lord of the universe giving us 10 statements
to follow.
And this is not old. We still need to follow these things. I read them every day. It's in my office. I start the morning by just reading through these things. Okay? God says, this is it. This is the standard. I'm holy. Therefore, you need to be holy. But we can't be holy, right? In and of ourselves. But he says, if you are, I will bless you. Okay? And then comes along the judges, and then comes along the prophets, and then comes along this little shepherd boy, David. And then we get into the Davidic covenant, right? This menorah represents the Davidic covenant. This is a light lamppost that was put in the temple. And you know there's candles over here. Many of the candles there was one candle that was always lit. It never went out. It represented God. The other candles were lit at various times. I won't go into all the details. Okay, but the menorah is sort of a representation of the Jewish people, right? When you think of the Jewish people, you think of the kingdom of David, you think of the menorah. Okay, it's a fascinating object. By the way, this was designed by God. The universe was designed by God, and we're going to see some of that at the end of the service. But this was designed by God. God specifically in Exodus 25 told Abraham, the Jewish people how to design this, and each of them represent a certain aspect of his creation. Right, the 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day he rested. Okay, that's one of the symbolisms. Okay, there's 37 decorative units on one side. There's 29 decorative units on the other side. Okay, this one doesn't have it. 29, 37, sound familiar? 66, okay? Books of the Bible are represented in this one menorah. Okay, it's incredible symbolism. Okay, God keeps his covenant. Through Abraham. God keeps his covenant through the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Covenant. God keeps his covenant, okay, through David. And then finally, God kept his covenant through the New Covenant, the cross of Jesus Christ. And we all understand that. You see, God has blessed the Jewish people tremendously. God keeps his promises. God knows, keeps his promises, and what he says always comes true. Always comes true. You can bet on it. No matter what the world is telling you, it will always come true. You look at the Nobel Peace Prize winners in the United States. Did you know that 27% of all Nobel Peace Prize winners in chemistry were Jewish? 53% in economics were Jewish. 27% in literature. Listen to this, physiology and medicine, 42% of all Nobel Peace Prize winners were Jewish people. And physics, 38%, okay? And the statistics go on. The seed of Abraham was also the Messiah. Through the Messiah, all the nations of the world were blessed. So you can see God has really blessed the Jewish people in tremendous ways. So we can see that God is faithful, and no matter what happens, he will keep his promises. What's the next thing? What's the next big thing, right? In technology and in media, we're always looking at what's the next big thing, right? Our toaster is now going to start talking to our refrigerator, you know? As soon as we open the door, all of a sudden, you know, the microwave pops on, and then, you know, the food comes in. What's the next big thing in media? I don't know. You don't know. There's amazing things that are happening. But what's the next big thing in theology? What's the next big thing in theology? The second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. As sure as Abraham has been blessed to be a blessing to the nations, as sure as those Ten Commandments, as sure as that menorah is, as sure as the cross of Christ came, you better believe the next big symbol is that white horse coming down from heaven with Jesus on it. There's a white horse after that cross, okay? There's a lot of other symbols that are going to occur. Just read them in Revelation. It's going to happen. Is it going to happen in your lifetime? A lot of noted theologians believe that in their generation we will see the coming of Christ. We don't know, but we need to be ready. But God is amazingly faithful. What else is God? God is almighty. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. This is, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his work. Obey the word of the Lord. Now, when we think of God as being almighty, can I give you two names of God, you may want to write these names down, that basically describe the fact of his almightiness. We see one name, Elohim. Elohim means creator, mighty, and strong. It's the word that God uses in Genesis, okay? He's a creator. In the beginning, God created the world. In the beginning, Elohim created the world, okay? So we see that he is totally infinite in his nature. He's creator, mighty, and strong. It's the plural form of Eloah, which accommodates the doctrine of the Trinity. The Bible's first sentence, the superlative nature of God's power is evident as God, as he speaks the world into existence. So God is a creator God. He is also absolute authority over all the world. You know that you are most like your creator when you create. You are most like your creator when you create. You're most like your father when you father others. You're most like your loving father when you love others. You're most like your joyful father when you're happy. You're most like your dependable father when you're dependable. So I'm not saying creator is the most important thing. I'm not. All I'm saying is this. You're most like your creator when you create. You know, Christians ought to be the most creative people on the face of the world, in the face of the earth, right? Christians ought to be the most creative people in the face of the earth. Just go to Italy. Just take a tour to Europe, and you'll see the creativity of God all over the place. Through Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and all, yeah, the relationship with God maybe wasn't perfect. But music, everything was created originally to bring glory to God. God is the most creative creative God in the universe. He's the only God in the universe. And so, you know, create, relate, meditate. Don't just vegetate, okay? And be like the creator. Last night was awesome, wasn't it, God? Wasn't it, guys? Last night we had an opportunity to show some creation. We had the coffee house, okay? Right here. We turned the Logos stage area into a little coffee house scene. And you can see here, God was able to provide some wonderful color through some amazing resources. It's amazing what you can find at Aldi's on sale. Okay? All the way from India, too. But anyway, and so Caleb took some beautiful pictures. God says, I am the light of the world. And you know what? The most beautiful thing, though, was not the pillows. It wasn't the lights. It was the people coming from everywhere. Friends invited friends. I'm just so proud of you guys. You did an amazing, amazing work. Just to see all these friends having joyful time together. There's some brothers and sisters from Christ Love Church, our Korean church. You know these folks over here and some friends. There's Abigail, that she's been coming recently. And Caroline, a terrific voice there, and a little guitar and everything like that. And then we have, whoops, you want to go that direction? Yeah, there we go. And so we had some special guests. He's a student at Johns Hopkins, wonderful guitarist, doing some worship music there. There he is on stage. And then, of course, we had our own Wilson leading some games and things like that and just having some fun and relaxing and enjoying the food that was provided. Leftover from the picnic, thank you very much. Without you guys, we would have starved to death, so thanks so much. And now we ordered some pizza later, so that was great. And then, of course, you know, it wouldn't have happened without these two dear sisters in Christ, right? Christina, Luthra, you guys did a fantastic job. Thank you so much. Can we give these guys a hand? They just sort of, I don't want to embarrass you guys, but they really grabbed the bull by the horns. I pretty much did what I was told, but it was good just to work together to see how God could organize this. They had PowerPoints together. I mean, they were phenomenal in their leadership and organizational skills. Beautiful voices, beautiful heart, just really a God-centered time last night. And then we had games, of course, as well, scissors, paper, rock, whatever that's called. And we did some other stuff as well. And then we had our Filipino brothers and sisters come. This guy wrote an amazing song from Romans 8:38. A tremendous song. Wrote it himself of how God had touched him, and he expressed it beautifully through guitar, didn't he? And through keyboards and a voice. I think they're a family, right? I believe. And the harmony was just wonderful. you know. And so we had all kinds of different music, but this was great to see them up there just expressing the creativity of God, their devotion to God, and the power of God through music and through truth. And we had a special ensemble, right, as well. Praise the Lord, not only with guitars, but all kinds of woodwind instruments. There's Christina over there, and it's her group, and that was fantastic. She could invite some friends, and they could enjoy it as well. So thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for what you did. Let me pray one more time. Father God, thank you for the coffee house last night. Thank you for the picnic last night. We had a lot of some friends and some visitors as well at the EM picnic. Thank you for Moses and for all the work that he did in organizing that. It was fantastic. And we thank you that you blew us here to CCCB. And we were able to camp out here and have a wonderful time. And we also thank you for the coffee house last night. And we thank you for all the new people that came there. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would water the seeds that were planted in the hearts of every single student that was there, and leader and co-worker, that you would strengthen them. Lord, it wasn't just having a good time. It wasn't just eating pizza, and we did all of that. But Lord, there was something eternal that took place. Would you produce the growth that you need to produce? And may we see all of them, every one of those picked people in those slides. May we see them around the banquet table someday in heaven, worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I do it again? I got to practice working on this one. Okay, God is truth. God is faithful, number one. God is almighty in power, number two. And number three, God is truth. And we can see it right here. He not only remembers his covenant, he's not only mighty in strength, but he will perform his word and obey the voice of his word. Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you may say, well, look, what about other truth in the world? What about Buddha? What about Muhammad? Right? What about other religions? Why are we the only one that's right? Okay? And how can you be so narrow-minded to think that Jesus is the only way? Well, the one who came from heaven, the simple answer is, the one who came from heaven is the one that tells us what heaven is like. Right? No one of those other prophets or philosophers have ever been to eternal life. They don't know what's there. The only way we know is because that person came here to live among us. You see, when you talk about truth, truth falls into three primary categories. You have logical truth, like prime numbers, okay? Numbers that are only divisible by one in themselves, if I remember my math correctly, okay? You know of logical truth. If you eat too much ice cream, you're going to gain a little bit of weight, okay? There's logical truth. Then there's observable truth. There's observable truth, right? The earth is round, okay? And there's observable truth that the fact that if your relationships are not right, you need to get right. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to repent of your sins. There's a logical progression to relationships. But not only is there logical truth, not only is there observable truth, there's theological truth. How do we know theological truth? By the theo, by God. God-inspired fact that is given to us by what we couldn't have known unless it had been revealed. There is no way to reveal the truth and know the truth unless we understand how it has been revealed. And it has primarily been revealed through the Word of God and through creation. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, that the invisible attributes of God, two things, the invisible attributes of God, his divine power, his eternal power, and his divine nature. His eternal power and his divine nature are clearly seen throughout the creation of the world. And so even if we didn't have the Bible, we could still understand what God was like by just looking at creation. That's how I got saved, on a backpacking trip up in northern Wisconsin, okay, through the Apostle Islands, they called it there. And we were backpacking. And all of a sudden, I was around this campfire singing songs like we did last night. That's one reason like we like to do coffee houses, is that's how I got saved. Just with a guitar like you guys were doing at the end, you know, just worship songs and stuff like that. You know, all of a sudden, the infinite nature of God and the intimate nature of God comes together. Isn't that cool? The infinite nature of God, the stars and the moon and the planets and all those things that we can see with our naked eye. And then all of a sudden, the love and the fellowship and the warmth of one another. And you see those two things to come together. And you think to yourself, there's got to be a God. There's got to be something more than just what we see out there. And that unconditional love really spoke to me. You know, when you're in high school, you're always looking for a place to belong. And I was a really insecure 16 and 17-year-old. I didn't really know who I was. I had a lot of illnesses, and that contributed towards it. But when I met some other high school kids, students and friends, and even adults, they treated me in unconditional love. They treated me not because of who I was. They didn't even know who I was. They didn't even know my accomplishments or my academic records or my sports background. They didn't know any of that stuff before I became ill. But they loved me, and they accepted me. And I said, that's unconditional love. And that was so different than the love that I had experienced in high school from other friends, where you had to perform in order to be accepted. You got to perform before you belong. You got to wear the right clothes. You got to say the right things. You know, you got to walk the right way. You got to perform the right way, whether it's athletics or academics or musical. You got to do things right to be accepted and be in the in-group. You know, there was always the academians, there was the jocks, you know, there were the burnouts, I call them, you know, they're always smoking dope everywhere, you know, they can and stuff. I almost got involved in that burnout group, you know, I came really close. But God saved me from that because I got saved at that particular time. We're all looking for a group, but it was at that time where God's unconditional love said, no, you don't have to perform, you just have to belong. My love for you is not based on your performance. It's based on your position. Your position as my child. I made you. I loved you. And we were made for God, and we were made by God. And until we understand that, life will never make sense. We were made by God. We were made for God. And until we understand that, until we live like that, life will never make sense. You can travel the world, and we've been around it 10 times. Not as unbelievers, but as believers. And there's so many people searching for why they exist. The good news is we know why we exist. Because God is faithful, God is almighty, and God is the way, God is the truth, and God is the life. There is no one that comes to the Father but by him. The Bible doesn't start with Matthew. The Bible starts with Genesis. The way in which God decided to reveal himself to humankind started in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God loved, although love is wonderful. It didn't say, it doesn't say, that in the beginning, God was holy, although he was. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God wanted to communicate that love and holiness to us. It doesn't say that. God says, I exist because I exist. Let's just start with square one. We have the lights and the sound, please.
Feel the thundering breakers roar to walk through gold.
any one of those animals? Do you have the power to create even a leaf of one of those trees? Do you have the ability and the intelligence and the strength to take one rock, one simple rock, and make a mountain out of it? Why do we ever worry about anything? When we worship a God that is that mighty. Who not only has the power to do what needs to be done, but has the caring attitude to do it. Let's pray. As the worship team comes forward, Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us. Oh, we've just scratched the surface of your faithfulness, of your almighty power, of your truth that has produced such a wonderful world. You are so smart. You are so wise to create the DNA, the diverse DNA that produces everything that we just saw. Why? So that we can get to know you better as a creative God, as an all-powerful God, as a God of truth. Lord, I pray that if there's one person here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray they would. And you can right now. You give me just 60 seconds. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. Your entire eternity can be changed forever. Just repeat after me. In the quietness of your own heart, dear Lord, that's right. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And I need you. I've tried to do it myself all these years. It's not that I really tried to disobey you, Lord, as I just didn't know you. But now I do. And I thank you for the truth that was shared this morning. That's right. Quietness of your heart, just say, Lord, I believe. Just say those two words. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And I want to follow him the rest of my life. And I pray for those that already know you, Lord, that we would live like we do and stop faking it and get real with you and start taking you seriously. We thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. But we also thank you that you have expectations for us. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Help us to start acting like we're mature and to grow up. And I'm speaking to myself as well. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.